Welcome to another Comp Box Watch Along. Actually, did you see the piece that we wrote about players and whether they're really good against pace or really good against spin and this kind of piece?
The one that came out yesterday? Ajinkya Rahane. Yeah, I watched the video, not the piece, unfortunately.
No, it's fine. It's all the same thing. It's the same. It's exactly the same thing, except you don't have to see my face. And you wanted to see my face, so, you know, that's on you.
I mean, you can see Jared's face in the screenshots also.
Yeah, I did think to myself, there's a lot of my face here. So let's start with Ajinkya Rahane. Yesterday, we saw an innings where he certainly came out, right, with a lot more intent against the spinners. He still got himself stuck a little bit at times, but we have him as basically on impact, basically as a plus one run per innings player against pace. So he's not like a beast against it, but he's good against it. And then we have him as a minus four against spin. And I could tell you the other players that were around him. In fact, I might even have the... I remember
Virat Kohli being a part of the same quadrant, but he was slightly higher up. Like, he had a better...
He was like just under on spin, I think. Closer, minus one or something around that.
Correct. And much higher on pace, of course.
Yeah, no, there's a couple of other players. So what I did was I just took the outliers, but I do actually have here... we can go through the full list. I mean, we've got a break. Let's just do it, guys. How do I share this page again? Is it this thing? Oh, wait a minute.
What is it? Pooran was the biggest outlier there. Pooran, Klassen as well.
This guy as well, bro. Abhishek versus Spin.
I think that
was the maddest one.
All right. I'm just going to bring this in, guys, if you can make it easier for us to see it. Vignesh or Rakshit. There we go. All right. And I can do this. So obviously, we can see just how much worse Rahane is than anyone else against spin. So there's a reason we shouted him out. And it's not because we're jealous. I am jealous. He's a good-looking man. But not particularly of this record. This is the player I thought was most interesting, guys, is Rishabh Pant. And how bad he's been against spin. And we've had some questions about this as well. It's probably a potential piece going ahead, I think, Cheyenne, which is Rishabh Pant's record in Test cricket versus spin and his record in T20 cricket versus spin. And they do seem to be completely in different worlds, right?
Absolutely, Jared. And this is not new, right? No. Let's not get this wrong. It started from 2020 itself. He has consistently had issues against spin bowling. For some reason, I can actually look up his season-wise records too against spin. In the meanwhile, we know that he has the ability to make it up against pace. But last season, he couldn't do either, Jared. And I went to watch the games. I went to watch the game against Chennai where Noor ran rings around him. He was not able to do anything. Like, Noor just bowled dry and Rishabh had no clue what he was doing about. Like, in that innings, I think he made, 63 or 49, I want to say. Which you would not take that innings, like in IPL 2025, would you?
Well, you're not taking it. I can tell from the tone of your voice. It is a fascinating one. Actually, I was trying to explain it to someone the other day that what I find fascinating about it the most is that we've seen him against Jack Leach and Nathan Lyon and others with all the fielders out, right? Still absolutely whacking the ball everywhere and not having an issue. But there is a difference between the kind of freedom he has in Test cricket to play the attacking shots. Yeah. It's very rare that they have the five fielders out, which is also very different. And in Test cricket, the spinners are bowling attacking lines and attacking plans, and they're throwing the ball up. It might just be that he doesn't like it when it's darted in, and it doesn't suit him. Because if you think about him at his best against spin, it's running down the wicket, and that's very hard to do in modern T20 cricket. These bowlers are all bowling 100 k's an hour, right?
But I feel
in Ronald's case, 120.
Yeah,
he bowled 126 against CSK. I was like, that's a mad ball, and you could see it in Dubey's face. He just wanted to complain to the umpire, "Ki yaar, matlab, this is unfair. Man, you can't do this." But about Pant especially, a slightly more subjective take on that is quoting what Travis had said once. He said that I find Test cricket a lot more easier than T20s because there's no scoreboard pressure. I don't have to worry about that's one variable entirely taken out of the equation for me. So it makes it easier for me to just pace my innings the way I want to. And somewhere I want to believe that is also applicable for Pant because he has that pressure of having to calculate his innings, having to sort of, you know what exactly is needed, how to go about it. I think that's where he tends to crumble. Whereas in Test cricket, there's more often than not, that's taken out of the equation until you're batting in the fourth innings, chasing a specific target. You don't have that in your head. You can play the you can play the conditions. You can just play within yourself. You can know what to do just by yourself. You don't have to worry about anything else. It's a lot more internal, less external, if that makes sense. That, I think, has played a role for Pant especially. Yeah. But apart from that, I completely agree. The not just the lines and the lengths that bowlers bowl, importantly, the field. I think the field plays a very big role because in Test cricket, more often than not, they tend to try and attack him, bait him into sort of going for his shots. Whereas in T20 cricket, you just spread your field, ensure you've got at least five fielders outside the circle.
Yeah.
That makes it difficult for him, for sure.
Akshay, are you aware of a cricketer called Michael Slater?
Of course, yeah.
Michael Slater, do you know what he averaged in Test cricket?
I know him more as a commentator, so not really.
So in Test cricket, he averages just under 43. Partly because he made about seven or eight scores in the 90s rather than going on getting 150s and boosting his average. Mm-hmm. He struck at a strike rate of about 53, 54. But in the 90s, most of his cricket was played. So in the a slower era. And, you know, if he played now, he'd certainly be one of the fastest scorers around. Do either of you know what his ODI record is?
I have no idea, but strike rate in the 60s, I would guess. 67, 68?
60. His strike rate was.
Oh, really?
But that's not the big story here. How about this? So he averaged 43 in Test cricket. He averaged 24 in ODI cricket, right? And my first thought, I remember looking at that. This is one of the first things I ever looked at Crick Info as a kid where I went deep into the numbers. Because I was like, I just thought to myself, but maybe he just made more runs for New South Wales. But in my head, I was like, I don't remember him ever making runs for New South Wales. Mm. So his List A stats, which I think is New South Wales and Derby, was it Derby? Yeah, Derby he played for as well. His List A stats there are 135 games. We don't have his strike rate, but 135 games at an average of 26. He never worked out how to play the white ball. Now, if you go back and look at clips of Michael Slater, you will see him smashing the first ball. He was doing Zach Crawley things before Zach Crawley was a glint in his old man's eye, right? Like, he was a really attacking opener, taking people down, hitting over, before we even had Sehwag, right? Really taking risks. He would usually get back into he wasn't as good against spin at times, so he would sort of come back a little bit against spin, but just a ferocious driver of the ball. And if you gave him width, he'd just throw his hands for it, right? You get him in one day cricket, and instead of having four slips and a gully, he suddenly got a ring field on the offside. And my memory was that Michael Slater got caught quite a bit in the ring, right? Playing these big attacking shots, getting away with it, and then getting stuck because he wasn't a great strike rotator. He was better at hitting boundaries, but the teams were bowling to stop him trying to hit boundaries, right?
Yeah.
The field was set up to stop him from hitting boundaries. I haven't really seen a player... And if anyone could come up with one who's as attacking, Varun's here as well in the middle of a podcast. Why not? so I haven't really seen another player up until we've got to Rishabh Pant of someone who has been that good as an attacking player in red ball cricket who hasn't managed to translate it over to white ball cricket. Right? We've seen the opposite all over and over again. Right? But we haven't
seen
this.
What about Slater?
That's who we're talking about.
Oh.
So. I wonder if that is where we end up with in the terms of someone like Rishabh Pant. And we just have to accept that there's just a reason, right? But the problem with that is we did actually see him dominate, whereas I don't think we ever really saw Slater dominate the white ball ever. We have seen that with Rishabh Pant. So
Jared, you want me to read out his true strike rates versus spin from 2016 to 19? Just by year. 36, 41, 39 and 17. For a four-year stretch, he was the best player of spin in the league. All of this at good true averages, by the way. One couple of years, he's closer to par. And then 2 years when he's at 13 and 23. So on raw averages, he's around 43, 40, 37, around that range, 47. So he's giving you runs and he's doing it really, really fast. That player completely changed from 2020. What really happened there?
And that's fascinating, right? Like, is it just he doesn't move as quickly off the spot as he used to? Is it he changed his shots? Is he not playing the sweep as much? Is he playing the sweep too much?
Do you think somewhere it also played a role that he did not play a lot of first-class cricket in the 2016 to 2019 period. Was definitely not really a part of the test scheme of things as well. He made his debut in the England series in 2018.
Yeah, 2018. And August 2018.
Do you think there's any... Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's correlation or if there's any causation to be made between him making his debut for Team India in test cricket and him becoming a test cricketer. I mean, a blooming test cricketer. And
I
that
see
sort
your
of
point. I yeah. agree with you as well. But the only thing would be, he made runs in Australia. He made 100 in England. He made runs in Australia. Then he came back and dominated the IPL. So, what are we missing? Like, what changed after COVID? Yeah. Like, that's what I'm really trying to understand here. Like, what is the flaw in his spin game in the IPL, suddenly? And another thing, Jared, on this is, if you look at his numbers internationally, they're also really bad. So, he never quite cracks T20 eyes, right? In the IPL, he had his run. He has his run, which
where yeah, that's what I mean. I don't think it's just an IPL thing, right? I think we all know that it's actually translated right across the board. And yet,
exactly,
we also have seen him be really good at white ball cricket. So it doesn't make as much sense as you would expect it to make. Just a couple of other players. I mean, we'll the three of us will one day have to do a piece on Rishabh Pant versus Bin and try and work out what the hell's going on. Yeah. You've got someone like Jadeja here. I think this is fine. This is a guy you want to come in for the last four overs of the innings. And so he's not as good against seam as he used to be. He's getting a little bit older, so we're seeing the impact go down. But he can certainly hit a little bit at the end. This is a player that's quite interesting, though. And this is a pattern that we saw quite a bit over the years that, you know, as good as Faf was against pace bowling and specifically fast pace bowling, right?
Yeah.
He never really cracked spin in the IPL consistently, did he?
This is just IPL.
Last two years of IPL.
Last 2 years. So, Jared, I would say some of this is the 2025 season where, you know, Faf doesn't really make runs in general. So, I would assume those pull his numbers down. But yeah, generally, I see your point for sure that he was much better against pace than he was against spin.
But I'm actually surprised by this. I did not think he had a negative impact against spin versus, while playing for RCB, because he had three phenomenal seasons for them.
So, Akshay, in 2024, he had a true average of 14 at a true strike rate of 4, which is like good, but he's not like giving you huge impact on that, right? And then the season before that, the one where he actually makes a lot of runs, where he makes 700 plus runs at a good true strike rate, mind you, it was not like a start padding season or anything. He was playing properly well. His against spin though, his true average was 21, but at a strike rate of minus 10. So that was also a very pace heavy year for him for RCB when he made lots of runs.
So what I would say about this is, I'm not as interested about Faf here, but remember in the last podcast, we were talking about building a team around Virat Kohli, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Virat Kohli is one of the best players of pace bowling in the world ever, right? Yeah. Like just a brilliant player of high-end pace, especially in limited overs cricket. Yeah. Why are you pairing him up with someone who's actually almost identical to him?
The same player.
Right?
Like a beta version of the same player, right?
And I think that's what we're sort of talking about when we're saying, like, Faf du Plessis, if he's with, I don't know, Sunil Narine or Abhishek Sharma, would be a GOAT, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
And we'll get to the Abhishek Sharma and Travis Head partnership later to show you how much better that works. But when you have Faf and Virat playing together, it doesn't really make any sense. And it's a mistake, you know, that they've ended up in that kind of position. Again, I'm not too worried about it. You're going to go up against a lot of pace.
Is that why you think him and Ruthraj worked so well in 2021? So I was just looking at the numbers. So in 2021, Ruthraj had a strike rate of 154 versus spin. Faf is 108, right? I think overall their numbers look quite similar. I think that's because Ruthraj just didn't hit pace and Faf just doesn't hit spin. So it's they probably work quite well, even though Ruthraj is not an extreme hitter of spin, is right?
Yeah. I can tell you one of the best partnerships ever, and I had three different analysts that year contact me about this partnership. And it's not one of the most famous ones in IPL, but it's Chris Lynn with Sunil Narine.
Oh, that's not very famous, wasn't it?
I mean, very briefly, though. I think it's a little bit more streets won't forget, Varun.
Yeah.
I don't think if we put a video up about it now, we'd get 20,000 views. Right?
No, because like, I remember even in 2018-19, I wasn't big on analytics, and even I was aware of it. So I was like,
But 2 years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It was 2017 as well, right?
2017 was the big one, right?
Yeah, 17 and 18, yeah.
So the reason it was so interesting is that Chris Lynn at that stage was one of the best hitters of pace in the world, and you couldn't really bowl spin to Sunil Narine. So you didn't have to spend an absolute fortune on these players because neither of them were absolute stars. But what you ended up with was a partnership that is just a pain in the ass, right? And it was also, there wasn't, I think I worked it out that the only thing you could kind of do was try and load up on left arm pace bowling, because I don't think Chris Lynn was quite as good against it. And Sun on Orion didn't particularly like left arm pace bowling, if I'm remembering correctly. Like, this was a couple of years ago. But the point being is, like, you can actually, like, you can have Faf du Plessis and Virat Kohli in and not get the maximum out of two-star players that you're paying a fortune for, but you can actually have lesser players, right, and have a much bigger impact just by the way you put them together.
Yeah. So, Jared, actually, a very interesting point on this. Yeah, go on. Go on.
No, go for it. Go for it, Shan.
No, I was just saying, so, the Kohli and Faf thing, right, they replace him with Salt, and an underrated aspect of Salt's game is that he really takes down spin in the power play. So if you go back and look at a lot of games that happened last season, whenever teams would throw in a spinner in the power play, Salt would go for like 20, 12, like those sorts of runs and just hit the spinner out of the attack. So that would make that partnership work. I think it was as simple as that, was it not?
I think in 2024... Yeah, and I think
with someone like Salt too, he's just going to hit boundaries, right? He might not last that long, but he you know, and if Virat's not going to hit boundaries, it's just that combination that again helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cricket boards actually make watching their games almost impossible now. I spend almost as much time trying to find where I can view it as I do actually following the action. That is why I use NordVPN. They let me find all the cricket I want to watch while protecting me from the nasty side of the internet. Nord will free your cricket matches. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/goodareas to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 additional months on top. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Watch every match with NordVPN.
Also, I mean, this might be a slight digression, but with the Virat Faf partnership, an argument that's usually made and something that we saw here as well by Sankeet, they were looking at Faf as a captain as well. So how big of a role do you think that also plays while? Because you're looking to build, but at the same time, you have these other boxes that you need to take in terms of leaders, in terms of all-rounders, options, wagera, wagera. So do you think, then should you look at it as a package, or do you still want to look at it in isolation that, you know what, we're still talking about batting here?
I mean, some of this depends on whether there is another captain available that you could put into your side that can do the job, right? And I think that, I personally am not a big fan of people like Faf being the captain in this level of cricket, because I don't think he's always an automatic player in every side. And I think if you're an overseas player, you have to be automatic in every single game to be a captain. Otherwise, you can cause issues, right? So I'm already nervous about Faf being my captain from that perspective. Then the second perspective is, how good a captain does he need to be to overcome the fact that you can load up against spin against these guys and actually keep them down in the power play every game? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So let's say they're a -3 against spin and teams start working that out and just pepper them with spin early on, right? And they never get off to a good start. Is Faf worth 3 more runs as a captain? Right? I would doubt that. I'm not saying he's not a good captain, but very few captains in the history of game would be worth 3 runs in a game with just in captaincy. So that sort of stuff makes me nervous, because again, it makes me think like they're not going through piece by piece on the best way to put their team together. They're just going, oh, we need an alpha macho leader guy. We need the guy who's got the nice six pack and everyone's going to run behind him. And I'm like, yeah, you do. You also need someone who can hit fucking spin, guys.
I mean, they already had one of them, didn't they?
Who?
RCB, if you wanted like an alpha dude who has abs, they already have Virat. So it's a bit redundant there. There's a lot of redundancies with both of them, isn't it?
Are you saying that they're basically the same man?
They are.
Okay, Varun, who do you think is more alpha out of the two of them?
It's a good question.
It has to be Faf, doesn't it?
How would you even define it?
Okay, could any of us imagine Virat Kohli running into a fight wearing a towel only, the way that Faf did?
Fair enough.
But how is that the definition of alpha, Jared? I don't think that was my idea.
Just so you're aware, alpha is a made-up term. It came from a scientific report on wolves, which has been thoroughly debunked, right? So anytime you hear someone say the term alpha about men specifically, let them know that it means nothing at all. So we can make it mean whatever we want, Akshay. I'm saying that the only definition of alpha is running into a fight wearing a towel.
No. So my idea of alpha is just completely different. My idea of alpha is literally every man who comes from that part of the country where Virat comes from. Like,
oh, Delhi.
Yeah. Like, basically, it's more about how you carry yourself and less.
Dude,
about
I was just in Delhi. I did not feel like there was a lot of alpha men around.
Jared, Rohan is asking us the real questions here.
Jared, is that a flight of Deepak? Or on me? Or on both of us?
I can see why your idea of Delhi is so skewed. Trust me.
Okay, let's get to Coley. Oh, no, I'm on the wrong screen. I need to go on this one. So, Coley's up here. So, what I like about this is that he is pretty much, I think we have him as third on impact against pace, which I don't think a lot of people would have. The only issue is that because he has gone so slow against spin, and he's tried to pick it up, of course, of recent years, that he's still giving a little bit back against spin where he doesn't need to. But if you just move that over to even par, Varun, against pace, against spin, I'd be like, I'm fine with this. He knows what he does well. He backs himself and he goes for it.
I mean, Sean and I talk about this all the time. I think the poor man is trying everything he can. He just don't think he can hit length. And he never has hit length. So I don't know what he can do as a spin. He's hitting the slot balls. He's hitting the short balls. Yeah. Maybe
he brought the slug sweep in, right? Like that was
the big one, right?
Make it work. But you do see now when you've got two players kind of in the same area, why it's not the ideal matchup, right?
Like also, Jared, why does this work now? Because now they have Rajat Patidar who is there to take down spin. They also have an improved version of Devdutt Padikkal. This is what they've done, right? They've built a team accordingly, so even Virat's weaknesses are mitigated and his strengths are very valuable to them. So
we saw that
in the CSK game the other day.
Also, about this, how much of an opener is sort of, you know, lack of being able to hit one soup, let's say pace or spin, can be mitigated by having a reinforced middle order? That's something I've always wondered. Does it actually help Virat Kohli that you have a really good spin hitter at number four? Because they bat at different points in time. So does it actually come together for the side?
But it helps
Virat take risks, right?
That's how I was about to say. Virat's usually like, Virat and KL are two people that if they don't trust the batting, will ultimately go into the shell.
Yeah,
I think Virat less so than KL. KL is the extreme case of it. If he senses a bit of like chaos in the middle, he will go into a shell, right? Yeah. It's why like I don't like it when people say KL is selfish. He's not selfish. He's got a fear of failure and he's conservative, right? Yeah. There's two completely different things there.
Exactly. With him.
Yeah, and you see this a lot with batters as well. Like we're in a situation. I don't, you know, it's the Mitali Raj conversation, right? Whereas like by the end of her career, everyone's like, look how selfish she is. Look how slow she scores. And I'm like, she was trained to be this player, right?
Exactly.
For years, she was ahead of the game, and then the game is switched, right? And KL Rahul is of the generation who grew up playing ODI cricket, right? He doesn't start playing T20 cricket until he becomes a professional. Now, you can argue that, like we have for Babar Azam and like we have for Steve Smith and these other guys, that they should have looked around all these guys and be like, is this the right way to do this? That's a perfectly reasonable way to look at it. But they literally learnt the game on one style of white ball cricket. And then the whole world went, no. There's another one here and you're not doing it right. And I think that sort of thing is very, very hard because you have to change the way you think about cricket. And as Varun said, like anyone who's ever played 50 over cricket will know that even when you're smashing the ball and you're massively ahead of the rate, there's a part of the back of your brain that's like, Jesus, this is actually quite a long innings. Like, I'm going to have to bat for quite some time here, right? And you can't help but yourself and you pull back a little bit.
Yeah.
It's the resource argument, isn't it? It's 10 wickets over 120 balls and versus 10 wickets over 300 balls. And in Test cricket, it's like 10 wickets over, I don't know, like 100 overs, right?
Yeah.
The value of a wicket matters much more the longer the format is.
And since we're talking about KL Rahul, so we've got him at almost par against spin here. And you can see that against seam, he's got a positive impact, but he's nowhere near that sort of top group, is he? Of, you know, Kohli, Travis Head, Sky, Mitch Marsh, we'll talk about them, and Riyam Parag. So Riyam Parag, I think, is a very fascinating player in here. So he's kind of what we're talking about. Well, this is kind of what we want the future to be. If you're not strong against something, we're not expecting you to have huge numbers against it. We understand that isn't your thing. But can you find a way not to be negative so that your strengths are all positives? And that is what Riyam Parag has managed to do over the last couple of years.
Yeah. And Jared, the interesting thing with Riyam Parag is when I was looking through his seasons, In 2024, he had a very solid anchor year. So I believe he was the third most runs after Virat and Ruturaj. Then the next season, he's like in the true strike rate conversations. He's there with the Phil Salts and Travis Heads and those sorts of guys. So he's shown he can play both ways.
Yeah.
At that number four role.
Here's what I was surprised at, though, that Mitch Marsh was a plus against spin. Not that I thought he'd be a massive minus, but I think that tells you that, especially, it's probably because when he hits sixes, right? So
oh, yeah, he does.
If he decides to hit down the ground or play the slug sweep, he's either going to be out or hit a six. And he hits enough sixes to get himself ahead.
I mean, he did average like nearly 70 at a striker, 150, so that always helps.
Yeah.
So last year, last year he was really good. Yeah.
And he doesn't play much in 24.
Sai Sudarshan is also a bit of a surprise that way for me. Like him having a negative impact against seam, wasn't expecting that at all. I mean, I've always thought of him as someone who's got a very good game against pace. That's how I look at it.
That's over the 2 years. It would be interesting to see what happened last year, though, against it. But I would assume this is mostly scoring rate, right? Because we're factoring in survival rate here and scoring rate.
Yeah, it's actually would be early wickets would bring it down. Because
Sudarshan never goes out early. What are you talking about?
That is also
literally never gone out early in his life.
Yeah.
And honestly, you disgust me for bringing that up, Farhan.
So he averaged, 29 at 129 versus pace in 2024. So that's probably why.
Oh, that would make sense.
What's weird about him against pace is quite often he goes out to it in the middle overs, right?
He does.
And it's because in the early part, he doesn't try and overhit it. He's just using the pace of the ball to hit the odd four. And when it comes back on, and they're bowling slow balls. He's got he's not the strongest guy in the world. And he tries to muscle these balls away and he mishits a bunch and then goes up in the air. I think he's a fascinating one. I'm glad you brought him up. Travis Head is the best player against pace here. What is noticeable though, guys, is that he is 4.5 runs in innings in the plus against pace. Yeah. But he's nowhere near as dominant against pace as the top spin hitters are. So if you can be dominant against spin, and you can see that like, There's basically five of these guys right up here in this area, right? Like Kohli's over four, Ryan Prague's over 3.5. So there's five of them in this sort of cluster against pace. And then when we get to the spin hitters later, you can see these guys are completely on their own. Like they go nuts. But let's just compare Travis Head and Abhishek Sharma, because this is what we were talking about before of why.
Sorry, I just need to mention Yusuf Pathan had an impact close to 10 in 2015 versus spin. And that's my Yusuf fact for the day done.
I've asked you to do a Yusuf podcast today. You didn't want to do it. So no, retract that. You had your chance.
No, I want to do it properly, Jared. Not on a rain show. Maybe we're constantly worried about the game starting.
I'm not worried about the game
starting. I'll make you sit down for 3 hours and do a podcast on him. Don't worry.
The covers have only just come off. So here we have Travis Head. So he's a plus against spin. So he's almost two runs an innings better against spin. So he's still got a decent spin record. You can see he's in the right area. But he's plus 4.5 runs against seam. And then he's paired with Abhishek Sharma, who is kind of the mirror image, right? A slight plus against pace bowling and a huge plus against spin. This is Sunil Narayan and Chris Lynn with superstars, right? And I think, and that's even with Abhishek Sharma having a bit of a down year, right? In the metrics that we're having a look at. And so that means that you're getting more out of Travis Head and Abhishek Sharma than you are because you completely stuff up the opposition's plans. All right. Anyone else that we wanted to look at? Shivan Dubey's not being as good as we wanted.
Oh, sorry. Were you surprised Sanju was a negative versus spin?
I was kind of surprised that Sanju was here at all, but I suppose the last couple of years in the IPL probably not have been his best, right?
Exactly.
That's true. Where does Butler
fit in all of this? Here's Butler, right next to Samson.
Oh, that's also surprising.
He hasn't had a great couple of years on all metrics. Remember, this is looking at your impact on the game, right?
24, I believe. He was not that consistent, was he? 25, I think he had a good year.
I think 25, he had 200s and was poor outside of the 100s.
That was 24, Jared. That was 24.
Was it? What did he do last
year? That was 24. Last year, he was great for Gujarat.
Yeah. He was very consistent for Gujarat.
I know he made runs.
True strike rate of 30, true strike rate of 11. True average of 30, true strike rate of 11. I mean, that's a solid year, I would say.
Do you know who never comes up well on any of these advanced numbers, Varun, is Tilak Varma.
That's a bias against Tilak.
He might be the most confusing player I've ever seen.
I've just highlighted him. He's the one with the big...
I can only, I can see the box. I can't see the circle. Oh, there we go.
Just at the top of the box.
No,
yeah.
But every time we do like an advanced numbers onto like Varma, he comes out and he just looks really disappointing. Like we did this thing where we were looking at whether players are, you know, strike rotators or whether they're consistent at both or whether they're hitters. He came out in this like weird area that made him look like a shit cricketer or that. And every time I've looked him up, but I really rate him. So it's like, I don't really understand where to put him. Was everyone a bit surprised to see Klaassen, Iyer and Pattadar so far from Pooran and Sharma?
Yes, I was, because Varun and I keep talking about this, right? The true strike rates of 119 or something against spin, I think these two guys were around that. So when you're that far ahead against spin, and I will add for, I think, Abhishek in 2025, he doesn't actually play a lot of spin. I believe it's only 45 balls, but whenever he does, he absolutely tonks
just it. Just hit it out of the ground, yeah.
It's that one innings where he makes 141, I think, against Punjab, right?
Punjab?
Yeah, so yeah, that really helps the overall numbers for last year, I think.
And Klaassen had a down year last year, right? So maybe if we looked
good, at the next... but not great. Yeah.
If we put an extra year back on that, maybe he goes back up. But I was still a bit shocked. I was pretty surprised, and I put this in the piece as well, that Klaassen was almost as good against pace as he was against spin. It's not that I've ever thought he's a bad player against
Klaassen
pace.
Klaassen had a strike rate of 177 versus spin last season.
What was he against pace?
Can I let you know?
I mean, there is an element with Klaassen of... I don't want to go too... Yeah, there you go. I do think there's an element with Klaassen that is probably underspoken about a little bit, which is that he does have a little bit of finishing anchor in him, Varun. He will get himself set, and he does a lot of his damage against spinners, probably towards the back end of the spinners' overs, right? Like,
okay.
If he's facing spin in 7, 8, 9, he's not like Len Maxwell, is he? Right? Who's going to try and hit sixes everywhere there. Klaassen is quite happy to get the odd boundary and knock them around. And then once he gets to about the 13th, 14th over, it doesn't really matter what you bowl to him. He's going to try and hit you for six, right? So there is an element of him. He's a premature ejaculant version of the finishing anchor.
Lovely.
There's a video title for us, guys. But you know what I mean? He goes off a little bit earlier than the sort of Tristan Stubbs, David Miller, MS Dhoni types who keep it really, really late. But he's also... I think Rob Barron was talking about this the other day, of like the most dangerous Henrik Klaassen is probably what, 20 off 20?
Yeah, fair.
Because from that moment onwards, what do you bowl to him? He's just going to try and hit you for six, right? Whereas, you know, sometimes when we see him come out and play shots early on, he's not quite, you know, he doesn't quite do it in the same way.
So he has a true strike rate of 13 versus spin in his first 10 balls, which it doesn't seem that much, I get what you mean, I think.
Yeah.
And then it goes up to 56 after that. So, fair.
Yeah. You know, so there's a big jump up.
Good theory, Jared.
Oh, interesting.
When I come up with a theory like this in general, and Varun then predicts it, I then send him a gif of saying that I'm God every single time. Am I wrong, Varun? Or do I not do that?
You do that. You did that with Bishnoi recently, didn't you?
I did do it for Bishnoi.
Also, another video you could probably consider, you spoke about how we can see plus eights, plus nines for spin hitters, but not necessarily for pace hitters. It's the same even in terms of negative impact, right? I don't know if it's because of the sampling itself, if the sample itself is biased that way, but it's very clustered in terms of how the negatives aren't that negative. Like you see Rahane, who's at -4. You don't necessarily see him. I mean, Nitish Reddy, really, we can probably take him out of this.
If you take Nitish Reddy out of this, I 100% agree with you. So Markram against pace is, against spin is -5. Yeah. And then the top guy is, so there's a 5-run differential in impact between pace hitters. And there's a
10-run difference, 12 rather.
And even if you take out Rahane, let's take out Reddy and Rahane just because they're really extreme. But even if you look at Pant, what's that? 2.75 to Pooran is 6. It's still an 8-run differential, right? 9-run differential. Like, it's massive.
Yeah.
But big thanks to Akshay, Varun, and Cheyenne.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Ruckshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv.
If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.